I want you to go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. That's where we're going to be in God's Word today. We're going to get close to finishing up Luke chapter 18. Not quite, but we're going to be right in the middle of Luke chapter 18. And of course, today is the first Sunday of 2026. And I could stand up here and ask you how you're doing with your New Year's resolutions. And some of you would probably say, I'm already out of luck, right? Some of you might say, well, I haven't started yet. Good for you. I'm going to tell you, I stopped doing the whole New Year's resolutions things a long time ago. I did. I just stopped doing them because usually when I made resolutions, it was up to me to keep them, and I found out real fast, that ain't going to happen. So what I did was I replaced my New Year's resolutions with more prayer and more time in the Word. If you were with us last Sunday night, my last message of 2025 was we need to be a people who are found in the Word and a people who are found praying. And that's what I said. I said, I want to end up 2025 being a man of prayer and being a man of the Word. And when I woke up on that first day, January 1st, I said, Lord, help me pray more. Help me pray in the Spirit. Help me be so surrendered that I'm not praying for my will to be done, but I'm praying for your will to be done in my life. And I said, Lord, help me to be in your Word. And my personal prayer was, God, I don't want to be in your Word just so I can craft another message for my church family. I want to be in your Word so that your Word changes me as your child. And that's what I prayed. And so my heart's desire, really in 2026, if you want to call it my goal in 2026 is to please God. That's my goal. It's not to be a better preacher or to be, you know, a better runner or to do more of this or to do less of that. My goal is to please God. It really is that simple. And here's the thing. If I will focus on my relationship with God and I will focus more clearly on the heart of God, a lot of those things I want to do or stop doing, the Spirit of God will lead me in it. And so that's what I'm praying. I'm praying that I will live my life in such a way that I please God. Now, the question is, Brother Jeff, how are you going to do that? How are you going to please God in your life and with your life in 2026? Well, the Bible's really clear, okay? So in order to please God this year, here's what it's going to take. I must be committed to exercising faith. Exercising faith. Exercising faith in God. And so I know I told you to turn to Luke chapter 18, but really what I want to do is I want to preface this passage in Luke 18 because we're going to be talking about faith, but I want to show you this. Brother Jeff, is that really it? I mean, to please God, you have to exercise faith? Yeah, but it's the kind of faith that you exercise that makes the difference. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And then if you read down in verse 6, Hebrews 11, 6 says, and without faith, are you ready for this? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, you might say, well, my faith is coming to church every Sunday. My faith is tithing 10% of my income. My faith is to sign up for more men's retreats or women's retreats. My faith is this, my faith is that. And listen, I'm not here to debate you on that, but I want you to be real careful, okay? Because signing up for a men's retreat can absolutely be all you and not God. Coming to church on Sunday morning could be all you and not God. I'm convinced there's a lot of people going to church on Sundays who are lost and don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There's a lot of people who are serving on retreats. There's a lot of people writing checks to the church who are lost because they don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. What they know is a set of beliefs or principles or systems. We call that religion. There's a lot of religious people in our world. That don't mean there's a lot of Christians in our world. Don't ever get those two things mixed up. So what I want to do is I want to talk about the faith that we see in Hebrews chapter 11 and the faith that we're going to see in Luke chapter 18. I love what Dr. David Jeremiah says. Dr. David Jeremiah says this: true faith is not just a passive belief that God exists, although that is essential. It is also an active belief that seeks God and His will and looks to the future. I love how Dr. David Jeremiah describes what true faith is. And so my confidence and my assurance, and we see that in Hebrews chapter 11 that I just read for you, my confidence and my assurance, it's not in me. It's not in me. I'm telling you, my confidence and my assurance is in God who saved me. My confidence and assurance is in Jesus Christ who did live perfectly because I can't live perfectly. That's where my confidence exists. That's where my assurance exists. It exists in the Lord. It is in who He is. It is in what He has done. And I'm going to tell you, it's what He continues to do in my life and what I know He will do. Because I not only believe in God, I believe God. And I'm going to talk more about that. I believe this is the faith that we're going to see in Luke chapter 18. And you know what kind of faith it is? It's a childlike faith. Let's look at it. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 15. People were also bringing babies to Jesus for Him to place His hands on them. That was a common custom in that time. They would take their children, their babies and their children, they would take them to the synagogues, to the temples, and they would ask the leaders, the priests, to put their hands on those children and bless them. And so it says, people were bringing babies to Jesus for Him to place His hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the little children to Him and said, let the little children come to Me. And do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. I want to read that one more time. Verse 17. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Let me just tell you something. You will never enter the kingdom of God by becoming a member of the local church. You will never enter the kingdom of God by writing a tithe check or an offering check to the church. You will never enter the kingdom of God because grandma or grandpa or mama and daddy did. You will never enter the kingdom of God on your own efforts or your own processes. That will not happen. And I believe that's what Jesus was talking about. See, Jesus was not calling us to a childish faith. He was calling us to a childlike faith. And I want you to understand there is a difference between those two words, childish and childlike. That word childish, it means to be marked by immaturity. It means a lack of poise and a lack of trust. Jesus was not talking about us coming to Him and living in Him with immaturity, just being whoever we want to be and doing whatever we want to do with no authority in our lives. He was talking about coming to Him in implicit trust, complete trust and dependency. That's what He was talking about. So you see, in that society, in that culture, a child, especially a baby, brought nothing to the table for the family. As a matter of fact, in that day, in that culture, children were viewed as weak. They were viewed as in dire need and total dependence of the parents, especially the father. I love what Dr. Tony Evans says. Dr. Tony Evans says, in the same way, we come to God through Jesus Christ, entirely trusting Him and dependent on Him for both kingdom entry and kingdom blessing. I love that. Dr. Tony Evans says it's very clear in this passage of Scripture. There ain't nothing you can do to earn or deserve a place in the kingdom of God. It's all based on Jesus Christ. And so if you want to enter the kingdom of God, it ain't your money. It ain't your experience. It ain't your legacy. It's Jesus, and that's it. Like a little baby was totally dependent upon the parent. You and I, if we truly want to be a part of the kingdom of God and experience the growth of the kingdom of God and experience the blessings of the kingdom of God, we have to trust in Jesus like we were a little baby and couldn't move and couldn't do nothing without him. And if we ever get away from that, you better look out. You better look out. It don't matter how many years I've been the pastor of Start Baptist Church. It don't matter how many titles I've had as a minister or a deacon or a youth pastor at Start Baptist Church. None of that gives me place in the kingdom of God. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Now, because I trust Jesus and because I'm dependent upon Jesus, I can grow in my faith. And instead of being childish, I can be childlike and continue to feed on Jesus and his word. Does that make sense? And so I believe that's what Jesus was talking about. So to be childlike, what does that mean? To be childlike in our faith is to implicitly trust in Jesus and be completely dependent upon Jesus in every area of our lives. So many times, right, we go to school and we get that high school degree and we go to school and we get that bachelor's degree and we go to school and get that master's degree, or we go and we get trained in a certain field and we get all of this experience, and then what we do is we live our lives working based on what? Our experience and our knowledge. And what that does is that sets us up to do the same things in our spiritual lives. Well, I've been going to church all my life. I know how this works. Well, I've been a member of that church for 40 years. So I should be the one to serve on that team or be the chairperson or do this. I should be the one making decisions. You see what happens? I've got experience. I got time. I've got successes. I'm going to just tell you something. Ask them college football coaches how much them successes matter today. Because we got college football coaches who've won multiple championships and get fired the next year. Because it ain't about what you've done, it's about what you're doing. And so if we ever move away from this childlike faith that Jesus is talking about, we actually are not being childlike, we're being childish. We're not being childlike, we're being childish. And so we want to trust the Lord completely. We want to be dependent upon the Lord completely. That is the foundation of our faith. And that foundation should always be there. It should always be there. Anytime you build, you ought to build on that foundation. I am a child of God, which is great because that means I belong to him, but it also means I am totally, totally dependent upon him in every area of my life. I'm totally trusting in him in every area of my life. And saying I believe in God and I believe God are two different things. There's a lot of people that believe in God, but they don't believe God. You want to know how I know that? Because people are trying to change what the Bible says. They're trying to change what the Bible says so that it makes them feel better about the decisions they're making. They're trying to change what the Bible says because they don't want to offend this group or that group. I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather offend you all day long rather than offend God. Because what you can do to the body, God can do to the soul. So you can do what you want with this body, but this soul is going to live forever or it's going to die forever. So you better be careful who you fear, because who you fear will become your God. So many people, man, is their little G-O-D. Every decision they make, it's based on what he thinks of me, what she thinks of me, what they think of me. Instead of saying, What does God think? What does God say? We need to exercise the kind of faith that says, I believe God. Not just the kind of faith that says, I believe in God. We need to practice and exercise the kind of faith that says, I believe God. I believe God. I believe every word he says from Genesis chapter 1 all the way through Revelation. Every word. It's infallible. It's inerrant. It is truth. It is life. It is light. There is nothing fiction in this Bible. It is all true. And if anybody ever tells you differently, they're lying to you. They're lying. I'm going to tell you, when everything else in this world has gone away, the Word of God will always remain. And that's not just me saying that. That's God saying that. He says that in his Word. And so I don't know about you, but I don't want to just believe in God. I want to believe God. And I want to live my life that way this year. And if he gives me another year, that year too. God, Jesus wasn't done. He wasn't done with talking about faith. See, the disciples, they rebuked the parents for bringing these little children. And Jesus saw that and said, hey, don't do that. Let the little children come to me. And if that's not enough, Jesus continues to show them and teach them. Watch this, beginning in verse 18. A certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do? Do you see this? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Look at what he says. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. Verse 21. All these I have kept since I was a boy, he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. When he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard this asked, who then can be saved? And Jesus replied, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Peter said to him, we have left all we had to follow you. Truly I tell you, Jesus said to them, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come eternal life. What an incredible passage of scripture. Now, I want to set this up because if you look back at the beginning of Luke chapter 18, if you'll remember, Jesus was basically comparing and contrasting pride and humility. You remember that? He was contrasting pride and humility. As a matter of fact, if you'll remember, there was a Pharisee and a tax collector who came to the temple, and the Pharisee said, Lord, I'm so thankful today, but I'm not like him. I've been good, and I've done this, and I've done that, but that guy over there, ha. And then the tax collector, if you'll remember, he didn't even make it up. He stopped where he was and he beat his breast. And he said, Lord, have mercy on me. He wasn't looking at nobody else. All he had to do was look at himself and say, God, I need you. So we've already seen this series setting up, these series of questions and these series of comments and what Jesus was focused on. He was focused on a humble faith. He was focused on a childlike faith because so many people around him were not practicing the kind of faith that pleases God. And he wanted them to see and know the kind of faith that pleases God. And so now, after Jesus has done this with the little children and he's trying to teach his disciples, undoubtedly, this ruler was either not there when Jesus spoke to and spoke about the little children and what kind of faith it takes to inherit the kingdom of God, or he was there and he didn't listen. I mean, that's what it was. In Matthew's account, do you know how this ruler is described? He was a young man. But it's also, when we study these passages, when we look at all three of the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, what we come to understand was this ruler had a lot of authority. He had a high position. He had experience. And obviously, he had wealth. He had all of these things, right? And so, by all accounts, when you look at it, by all accounts, this ruler was knowledgeable. How can I say that? What did Jesus say to him? He said, you know the commandments. So this was not new to him. Jesus said, you know the commandments. So we know that he was knowledgeable. We even know that he was decent, right? He was decent. But he was also searching. Because there was something inside of him that says there's got to be more. There's got to be more. But the problem is there's got to be more I can do. There's got to be more I can have. There's got to be more that I can do. What must I do to inherit eternal life and the kingdom of God? So he came to Jesus. He even called him good teacher. Now, theologians debate on this. Some believe that he was being hypocritical. Some believe he was being, you know, using that word sarcastically. Others say, no, he was sincere. I'm here to tell you, I don't know. But I know what Jesus said. I know what he was looking for, and I know what Jesus said to him. As a matter of fact, when he said good, Jesus said to him, hey, why do you call me good? Why are you using the word good? How are you using the word good? That's a big deal. Because he says God alone is good. But who is Jesus? He is God. He is God in flesh. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And so Jesus, when he says, hey, why do you call me good? Only God is good. Jesus was not denying his deity. I'm going to tell you something. There are people out there that will take this gospel and they will twist it and they will say, oh, no, Jesus wasn't God. Because he said he wasn't good. Only God is good. That is not what Jesus was doing. He was not denying his deity. He was looking at the way this young man used the word good. That's what he was doing. And so he was shifting this ruler's focus from a worldly way of thinking to a spiritual way of thinking. He wanted to talk about the kind of faith that pleases God, the kind of faith that inherits eternal life. It isn't about being good. But this young ruler thought it was. Oh, I've kept the commandments since I was a little boy. In other words, I've been what? I've been good. You see his shift? You see that? Jesus is shifting his focus on him being good to him being needy. That's what he does here. The kind of faith that pleases God, the kind of faith that inherits eternal life isn't about being good. It's about being humble and absolutely needy. Like a child. It isn't about being knowledgeable. It isn't about being decent. Listen to me, there's a lot of people that know the word, but they don't believe God. Let me tell you something, the devil knows the word. Matter of fact, the devil's more knowledgeable than all of us in here combined. He's got it memorized. Some of us have got it memorized. Better be careful. Being knowledgeable don't make you right with God. Now, do we want to be knowledgeable? Absolutely we do. But my knowledge of God will never, ever replace my dependence upon God. Ever. I listen with Marty a lot on this Bible recap. I love to do it. I love to see where she's at and listen to what they're saying. I also love the way that guy talks on the phone. Anyway, that's a whole nother thing. I wish it was like Liam Neeson or somebody like that. But anyway, we do that. And then what will happen is I'll listen to that, and then I'll go to my office, And I'll open up my study Bible and I'll dig, and then I'll start digging some more, and it'll take me to more places. I love that. But my prayer is that you are digging into the Word of God every day. That you're doing what God wants you to do. Not Jeff's plan, but the plan God has for you. And I do pray that you and I will grow in our knowledge. But please, let's never let our knowledge be the pillar of our trust. And the pillar of whether or not we're a child of God. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. That's how I enter the kingdom of God. That's how I inherit the kingdom of God. It's Jesus. It's not my knowledge. It's not my experience. It's not. It's implicitly trusting God and completely dependent upon God. I love what Pastor Mal Couch says. Pastor Mal Couch says, this ruler's motivation for asking Jesus this question was undoubtedly a desire to gain assurance that he was headed in the right direction toward the ultimate destiny of the resurrection to eternal life and peace with God. In other words, the way he asked this question was, hey, Jesus, tell me I'm right. Hey, Jesus, tell me I'm doing a good job. In other words, hey, Jesus, pat me on the back and say, good boy, keep doing what you're doing. I love what Pastor Mal Couch says. It was about his motivation. It was about what he was doing, not what Jesus was doing and what Jesus would do. Because what has Jesus already told his followers? I'm going to be handed over to men, and I'm going to be killed. And I'm going to come back. It was about what Jesus had done, what Jesus was doing, and what Jesus was going to do. It was always that way. Always. And so what we see in this passage of Scripture is something that I believe we see today. So many times we think the Bible was so ancient and all of these stories just don't really apply. Oh, I think it absolutely applies. Because what we see in this young ruler, this rich young ruler, is the same thing that we see today. This ruler was exercising a dependence upon self and his own possessions. That's what we see. He was exercising dependence upon himself and his possessions. After Jesus quoted several of the commandments of God, the ruler stated, I've kept all of these. I've kept all of these since I was a boy. And I love what Dr. Tony Evans says. He says, this kid, this young ruler, this high-positioned person, it was either a bold liar or self-deceived. He was either a bold liar or self-deceived. I mean, he's looking at Jesus and saying, hey, I'm perfect. I mean, basically what he's saying. I've done all of this. And so this Jesus, I love this because we could look at that and go, well, man, Jesus should have just pointed it out. What's going on, Chris? Is that my shirt? Is that my shirt doing that? I think so. Maybe so? All right. So here's what Jesus was doing, right? Jesus could have very clearly put his finger in his face and said, hey, man, be quiet. That's not what he did. Jesus didn't attack this guy. He didn't. Here's what Jesus said. Okay. But there's still one more thing. See, because Jesus, he saw his heart. He saw his heart. Jesus said, there's one thing you lack. There's one thing you haven't done. Sell everything. Notice, he didn't say, auction off this, take a few clothes to Plato's closet. That old Jeep that's sitting in the driveway that you haven't driven for 5 years, go sell it. No, what did he say? He said, sell everything you have and give it all to the poor, which means he would be left with what? Nothing. Nothing. He said, then come and follow me. And what happened? The young ruler, it says, became very sad. He became very sad. It says the ruler was sad. And here's what I believe. I believe the ruler was sad because his love for wealth was greater than his love for Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, that is my fear for our church today. That is my fear for our community today. We say we love God, but we're really not willing to give up everything we have to follow Him. We got to hold on to this. We got to hold on to that. I'll give Him this, and that's better than what He gave. It's better. Oh, you see what happens? I'm going to just tell you, we look a whole lot more like Pharisees than we do Jesus many times. Because we just want to look better or be better than, when the standard is Jesus, not somebody else. The standard is Jesus. So the ruler was sad because of his wealth. He had a lot of it. Let's be honest, he was not willing. And this is Luke chapter 9. In my opinion, this ruler was not willing to die to self, take up the cross, and follow Jesus. Because isn't that what Jesus told his followers it takes? You must deny yourself, take up the cross, which means suffering, take up the cross and follow me, which means go where I go. Let me lead you. Let me provide for you. Let me do. I don't believe this ruler did that. I don't know. But I do know this. Based on that statement, he was not willing to implicitly trust Jesus. He was not willing to completely depend upon Jesus to inherit eternal life, to enter the kingdom of God. So let me ask you this question. It's a very important question. Is it experience? Is it success? Is it wealth that Jesus was attacking in this passage of Scripture? Is that what it was? Is that what it was? See, I don't think so. I don't think Jesus was attacking those things. I actually believe that it's clear that it is our trust in and our dependence upon these kinds of things, experience, success, and wealth, that keeps us from truly inheriting the kingdom of God and eternal life. That's what I believe. It's one thing for me to have wealth. It's another thing for my wealth to have me. It's one thing for me to have knowledge. It's another thing for my knowledge to have me. It's one thing for me to have success, but my success have me. I was listening to a college basketball coach just a few days ago after a ball game. His team, they were undefeated, and they got beat. And, you know, the guy was talking to him about why you lost, and maybe you haven't done this, and maybe you haven't done that. And here's what the coach said. The coach said, hey, this is a long season. And you're making this out about me. He said, we got a lot of games in front of us. We got a lot of preparations. We got a lot of plans to make. Here's what he said. He said, me and my players, we have to believe in the system. Right? We have to believe in the system we have. We have to execute. We have to exercise that system. And I believe success will find us. We won't find success. Now, I say that because that's totally secular, but I think so many times we apply that same mindset spiritually. We think, oh, I'll go to church more. Oh, I'll sign up for more Bible studies. Oh, I'll give more money. I'll get closer to this guy. I'll get closer to this lady. I'll do. And we think that is success. I'm going to tell you, you know what true success is? Completely, humbly, implicitly trusting God. That's really it. Don't tell me how many teams you're a member of. Don't tell me how many years you've been a member of the church. You know what I hate? I say I shouldn't use the word hate. You know what I dislike? People ask me all the time, how long have you been pastor at Start Baptist Church? And I could tell them 14 years. I mean, that's the truth. But who cares? Who really cares? If we're looking at it from a worldly standpoint, well, that's great. We've had some stability there with, you know, not bouncing around from one coach to the next and having to relearn all this. Like, I get that. But here's the thing. What you ought to ask is, do you trust God today as much as you did then or more? Are you still as dependent upon God today as you were then? And then, and like those are better questions. Are you still digging deep into the Word of God? Are you still humble? Are you still praying? Are you still dependent upon God? Do you still trust in Him? I like them kind of questions. Someone asked me, I preached my niece's wedding yesterday evening in Shreveport, and a young man came up to me, and we had already talked a little bit about my running and stuff like that, but he came up to me, and he said, "Pastor Jeff, what's your why?" That's a good question. So the next thing I said was, "My why in what?" He said, "In life. What's your why? Why do you pick a foot up and pick another foot up? Why do you keep moving forward?" And I said, Colossians 3:17, in everything, give thanks to God, give glory to God. That's my why. I wake up every day saying, okay, God, how can I glorify you today? Am I perfect in that? Absolutely not. Are there some days when I wake up going, okay, what can Jeff do for Jeff? Yes. I'm like Paul. My flesh and my spirit battle daily. Many times my flesh just whips me because I let it. What's your why? Anyway, we talked, and we talked about the Bible. We talked about the gospel. We talked about Jesus, and we talked about running. You know, we talked about St. Jude. We talked about those things. But, man, I drove home all night last night going, what a great question. Why? Why do you want to be a better husband? Why do you want to be a better parent? Why do you want to work at the bank? Why do you want to work in the field? Why do you want to run? Why do you want to do? Why do you breathe? What's your why? I want to tell you, my why in 2026 is to please God. You go in what? Yes. In what? Yes. In whatever. That's my goal. Dr. Tony Evans, I love this because when Jesus was talking to this ruler, it sounded impossible, didn't it? And Jesus even echoed that. With man, it is impossible. But with God, it is possible. It's only possible, right? It's only possible with God. And I love, again, what Dr. Tony Evans says. He says anyone can be saved. Jesus was trying to teach this ruler, hey, you can be saved. You can, but it ain't dependent upon you. It's dependent upon me. It's dependent upon God. That's what Jesus was saying. So Dr. Tony Evans says anyone can be saved. All are sinners, and what we deserve is eternal judgment. It's not possible for a single person to receive salvation apart from God's amazing grace found in Jesus Christ. God can work in the hearts and minds of even the wealthy to humble them so they look to Him instead of their wealth as their source of eternal life. And listen to me, just replace that word wealth with whatever it is that you're leaning on, you're depending on, you're trusting on. My job, my education, my spouse, my children, my church, my community, whatever it is you're leaning on, whatever it is you're depending upon, hey, listen, replace it. Replace it. Replace it with the only one who can truly meet every need in your life, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, don't trust. Listen to me, we can lose the job. We can lose the bank account. I'm going to tell you, we can lose the spouse. We can lose the children. We can lose the mama and the daddy. We can lose the church. We can lose the community. We can lose those things. We absolutely can. But I'm going to tell you something. God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. See, I don't just believe in Jesus. I believe Jesus. He is my firm foundation, Brother Andy. Thank you for singing that song. He is my firm foundation. It's not my wife. It's not my kids. And I love you, church, but it's not you. It's Jesus. He is my firm foundation. So if everything else is taken away, I can still stand. Ask Job. Ask Job about losing it all, but not losing his father. So what does Jesus do when the disciples, they're looking around and they're listening, they're going, well, then who can be saved? Like, what are you saying? And Jesus says, hey, with God, it's possible. And then watch this. Jesus actually confirms that those who forsake their own lives for the kingdom of God, they actually gain true life, which is eternal life, which is the kingdom of God. So when we forsake our own lives, we actually gain life, true life, eternal life, kingdom of God life. That's a beautiful promise. The question is, do you believe that? Do you believe it enough to actually exercise it? See, that's the difference in childish and childlike. That's the difference in passive and active. Those are some important words that I've used this morning. A lot of us got all this knowledge, but we don't exercise it. Listen, somebody asked me the other day, what kind of shoes do I need to go buy? I've told a lot of people what kind of shoes they can go buy. They can go buy them for my son at Fleet Feet, okay? Here's the thing. You can buy them shoes. You can spend all kind of money on them shoes. You really can, okay? And some of them are pretty. Like, man, electric pink. Justin wears them pink shoes all the time. Well, yeah, don't you, boy? I like my black ones, right? I like my solid, I call them the Dark Knights. That's what I call them. Anyway, you can buy the pretty shoes. You can spend all the money. But here's the thing. If they're sitting in your closet, they're doing no good. And so many of us, we think we have faith, but it's closet faith. And then we wonder why we're so wishy-washy when it comes to our lives. We wonder why we just always unstable. We wonder why we can't serve or we can't experience. It's because you're not exercising the faith that Jesus Christ lived for and died for to give you. So here's my question. And don't answer this out loud. Don't. Please don't. Just answer this inside your own conscience, your own heart, your own mind. Do you want to please God? Do you want to please God? So my next question is, then what kind of faith does it take? And are you willing to exercise that kind of faith? Let me ask you another question. This year, 2026, we're only, what, 4 days in? Let me ask you this. If God, not me, not the person sitting next to you, not the person on this earth that knows you best, if God were to describe my faith and your faith, and he only had two words to choose from, childish or childlike, which word would he use? Which word would he use? I know the answer. I know the answer from my life. I love ending with questions because I don't know all the answers. But I'm going to end with three more questions, and they'll be on the screen. Number one, will you humble yourself before God? Will you be like that tax collector that came to the temple and didn't even want to walk down to the altar? You just stood at the door and said, "This, I'm close enough." Will you be the one that beats your breast and says, "Lord, have mercy on me"? Or will you be the one up here that comes up here because you want everybody to see you saying, "I'm glad I'm not like him. I'm glad I'm not like her. Bless me, Lord. Keep blessing me. Let me be a blessing." Will you be humble before God, or will you be prideful? You know which kind of faith pleases God? Humble faith. Another question. Will you implicitly, that word implicit means absolute. It means 100%. Will you implicitly trust God? Will you be completely dependent upon him, or will you continue to trust your bank account? Will you continue to trust and depend upon your expertise and your past wins, your past successes, who are you going to lean on? Who are you going to build your foundation on? Will it be you or will it be God? And then the final question is, will you choose to exercise a childlike faith? Will you choose to exercise a childlike faith? Because I'm going to tell you, I don't just believe in Jesus, I believe Jesus. And what did Jesus say in Luke chapter 18, verse 17? He said, you must have faith such as these to inherit the kingdom of God. You must have faith such as it. Who was he talking about? Like a child. I don't know about you. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that the Lord called me to ministry. I'm thankful for the opportunities I've had to go to school and get that education. I'm thankful for the experiences, the successes. I'm thankful for all of the things that we have experienced together as a church family. But that is not my foundation. And that is not what I base my tomorrow on, my next week, my next month, this year. My foundation is Jesus Christ. He is my hope. And therefore, he is my tomorrow. He is my next month. He is my 2026. I want to please God. What about you?